Welcome to the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, where we take a journey around the world learning about social etiquette and traditions. Welcome to the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Kim Farrugia from Ireland. So, Kim, sorry, I can't help but say it with my fake Irish accent. So, whereabouts in Ireland are you actually from?
I am from Dublin, okay. Ireland. Yes, so the city, pretty much.
Yes, the city.
Yeah, yes. The capital city, yeah.
The place that most people will have been to if they've been to Ireland.
Exactly, and even if they're going anywhere else, they'll most likely have flown into Dublin to get to wherever they're going.
So. What are the best things about Dublin?
It's very, even though it is a city, it's very multicultural now, and it's for a city, it's quite laid back. There's a lot of things to do, there's great shopping, but it doesn't feel as hectic as some other cities can feel. Like sometimes, you know, when London is quite busy, mm-hmm. and other cities that I've been to tend to be very full on, whereas there is that aspect of it in Dublin, but it's a lot more chilled out.
So moving to Malta wasn't such a shock to the system with our quite laid back.
Well, it was still a little bit of a shock. I think it's a bit of a different level here, but no, yeah. And I'm half Maltese, so.
Oh, I see, okay.
I am used to it by now.
Okay, so you used to come as a child or whatever, yes, anyway, and eventually sort of stopped. I did the same thing, but it still was different.
Yes, because you're a half Maltese.
Yes. It stopped being coming on holiday, and you thought it was always going to be like that, and it's not.
No, when you have to work here, it's a completely different story.
Yes. So is that what brought you in the end? You sort of just decided to stay in Malta one time?
Well, my now husband, Charles, is Maltese, and when we met 10 years ago in Malta, and I was meant to be here for a year, taking a break from college and stuff like that, and I ended up going out with Charles, who I had knew before, and ended up staying here for 2.5 years. But I wanted to explore different areas in my career, which I'm a makeup artist, so mm-hmm. at the time there wasn't much going on in Malta for me to be able to do what I wanted to do, basically. Okay. So after a lot of persuasion, I finally managed to get Charles to come back to Dublin with me, and we spent a few years in Dublin, then we went to Canada for a while, then we went back to Dublin, then we went to Cork, which is another place in Ireland, uh-huh. and he just always wanted, he's a real homeboy,
so come back.
He always wanted to come back to Malta, yeah. So yes. So we came back here, and I think now I like it more because I know what I want, and I love the lifestyle here, and there's a lot of new opportunity in Malta now as well, which is amazing. So,
what are the things you do miss about Dublin though? What are the things that really sort of part of the Irish part of you?
I suppose I miss convenience. While things are getting really good here, it's at home, it was very easy, you had everything at your fingertips pretty much, and I suppose it's all the stupid things really, like shopping and things like that, but I do miss my social aspect of it. I'm not as social here as I was at home. Mm-hmm. There's always something on in Dublin every weekend, no matter what. There's, even if you went to the pub or something on your own, you'd find someone you know.
Okay.
And I wouldn't normally go to the pub on my own, but then yeah, so I do miss, all my friends and my family, because I have a very close group of friends and family, so they're the main things I miss. However, I do have my mum here, who is Maltese, and my sisters, so it's not so alienated.
It's sort of cheating.
Still
a bit.
Connected, exactly, yeah. So
what things did Charles find out about Ireland? Did he, you know, is it all about Guinness?
No. Actually, Charles doesn't drink, but he drinks Guinness. So there you go. But he loved the convenience as well. He's a bit of a fast food junkie. So for him, I think we found out actually that Domino's was coming to Malta recently. I was like, we'll never get him back to Dublin now because but he really missed home all the time. He missed Ireland. Like, even though Ireland is an island,
it's quite
metropolitan, especially in Dublin, where I think he might have felt a little bit lost there, if that makes sense. Yeah, but he loved, again, the convenience, like having all the different channels, which, you know, I suppose it's all really material things when you think about it, you know.
So take that back down then to when you were growing up as a child. What happens when a child is born? Is it like a big family celebration? You're saying families?
Yes, it's definitely a big family celebration. Normally when a child is born, everyone goes to the hospital to the new mum and baby. Mm-hmm. And traditionally, maybe not so much now, but traditionally a gift that you would get for a child is like some sort of keepsake. So either like a necklace or a bangle, something that they could kind of hold on to throughout the year. Mm-hmm. With their name engraved and the date they were born.
Is that in silver or gold or something?
Normally silver, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, or something like, maybe like a silver beaker or something they probably wouldn't use, but they would have as a memory, that would be very traditional as a gift. And other than that would be, you know, clothes and all that kind of stuff.
But
so
Ireland's very Catholic as well, isn't it? So it's a pretty similar scenario. Then children go on to communion, confirmation, those things.
Very, very similar. I mean, nowadays it's a lot more, it's not as devout, mm-hmm. as it was. I think we could say that for Malta as well, you know, there's people. But in saying that, people are not so that go to church every Sunday. However, they will still have their children christened and they will still make the communion and make the confirmation, even if they're not very, you know, if they're not practicing a lot, which is nice. It's very ritualistic, you mm-hmm. know, and it's a big thing. Although I will say, like, I can remember making my own confirmation, for example. It's nearly more about what dress you're going to wear and, you know, what kind of presents you're going to get and where we're going to, what party are you going to have. Oh. So it's very blown out of proportion now. You know, I even see on Facebook and things, there's, you know, a lot of kids will get their dresses made from certain people in Ireland just for their confirmation, and there's a waiting list and everything. So I think it's more about the fashion now than the actual
set them up a bit for when they're getting getting married. It becomes a whole another thing, I'm sure. So what are Irish weddings like? I'm imagining they're an absolute blast.
They are amazing, and they're very similar in the structure. They're quite similar to a Maltese wedding, the difference being the sit-down meal part. So normally, again, it's kind of changing over the years, but normally a wedding would be held kind of 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, if you were having the mass, mm-hmm. and then you would follow on to wherever the reception was going to be, which will be most likely a hotel, or it's getting a lot more popular now, on really nice grounds and, mm-hmm. you know, gardens and things like that. But a lot of the time it's at a hotel, and there will be like a pre-drinks reception with some food and canapés and things like that. And then you will be called into the main reception room, and there'll be a table plan. There'll be the head table with the bride, the groom, and the bridal party and the parents. And then everywhere else will be, you know, you'll have a little, like my friend got married in September, and she had a little Christmas tree with little decorations. And we went to take your decoration as a souvenir.
Oh, sweet.
But you had your table number on it as well.
Okay.
So it was, that was lovely. And then you would have your sit down meal, so your few courses, a toast, mm-hmm. Speeches are a big, big thing.
So who gives speeches?
So the father of the bride, mm-hmm. the best man, mm-hmm. and the groom are, you have to have them. That's very traditional. But now, you know, the bridesmaids, the maid of honour, everyone is kind of getting up. The mother is getting up to say a few things, you know, so everyone wants to have a few minutes on the mic. But a speech would be very, very traditional. And also the cutting of the cake would be quite a traditional aspect.
When does that happen? When does the cake happen?
That would mainly happen usually after the food, mm-hmm. And the toast and everything has happened. It's kind of the last thing before everyone just gets drunk and dances. Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty much an Irish wedding. It's very similar to the Maltese style. Mm-hmm. apart from the sit-down meal and the speeches. I think now Maltese weddings are getting more, you know, some speeches, but it's very important.
How big would an Irish wedding be? How many people would you normally have at a typical wedding?
So Irish families typically are very big, like Maltese families as well, and it would be anywhere, I would say, from 150 probably being small to in upwards of 500. And that would depend on whereabouts in Ireland as well you were from. Like, I find people that marry that are from like more rural areas down the country tend to have much larger scale weddings.
Okay.
But yeah, it would be anywhere from 100 to 500 upwards. Maybe not upwards from 500, but it depends. Nowadays, though, I think people are kind of cutting back a bit and, you know, really having the people they want there. You know, I had a funny story that my friend, I think she was saying that her mom wanted her to cut somebody out of the wedding so she could have like a cousin from, you know, that lived, she'd never even met in her life, but just because she was friends with the cousin or friends with the granny, you know, she had to invite this person even though she didn't know. So I think that's all
starting.
I think it's all being cut out now.
I think it's a little unfair. It's your wedding at the
definitely,
end.
Definitely.
Says she who's unmarried.
but you still know. I think it's really important to have the people that you want there, you know.
And that's it, especially if you're going to be sitting at table with them. It's not like a Maltese wedding where you can just move group. If you're sitting at table, you want people to have something in common outside of the couple. And so then after that, is there anything specific about the cake? Do you do the top tier for christenings, that kind of thing? Or is it that sort of gone out of fashion?
Now that you say it, I think they do. Mm. But I don't know. I actually haven't been to many Irish weddings. I think I've only been to about three.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they used to have symbols. But now it's what the bride and groom want mostly. Like, a lot of people now are opting for those ones without icing now and going for that more kind of shabby chic kind of effect,
okay.
And going away from the tradition but still having the tradition at the same time. So, but yeah, there would have been a lot of symbols, like even the whole garter and the having horse, the horseshoe and everything like that. That used to be quite a tradition back in the day. And also a good one that I think still keeps going is normally the bride's mom will have like a neighbour night before the wedding when all the neighbours kind of come around.
And
it's like an old fashioned hen party.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they give her kind of funny gifts like sexy underwear and, you know, everyone just kind of gets together in the mother's house then.
Uh-huh.
And that still goes on as well.
Oh, that's really nice idea. So the boys get the same thing as well? This is the bride?
The guys can just go on their stag wherever. But
we don't want to know what goes on there.
Exactly.
So are there any other sort of quirky traditions, because we're Catholic, or because you're Catholic as well, it would be similar for the religious, I'm sure, of Christmas, etc., etc.
Yeah.
But what about other traditions that happen during the year that the Irish celebrate in their own particular way?
Well, I think the one that stands out to everybody in the world would be St. Patrick's Day. Even in Malta, they've taken it to another level now, which is crazy. The traffic was insane a few weeks ago. But yeah, so St. Patrick's Day would be a big thing. Mm-hmm. As you get out, like, I remember as a kid, we were always brought into the city centre, and my dad would always bring a ladder. I don't need a ladder now because I'm 6'2", but anyway, my dad would always bring a ladder he would get up on the ladder and put us up on his shoulders.
Wow.
This is how much of a crowd there used to be, and there would be everything, like the parade would just showcase people. What sticks out in my mind would be the majorettes with the batons. I used to love watching that, and different sports. People from all different walks of life would have floats, and it was beautiful. And you would, the whole, you know, area would, you just couldn't see. There was so many people. But as I got older, it was more about, right, which pub are we going to go to for the day, and what music are they playing, and we better get there at a certain time because we won't get in. And it really is just all about the drink, you know.
Would you still take your children now to the one with the floats, and or does that not exist at all?
It does now, but it's spread out a lot. So for example, they have more parades now in a lot more different areas so that everyone can kind of see it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's still quite a big thing for the children to go to the parades, and some parade enthusiasts maybe, I don't know, but I wouldn't, like, now I probably, unless I had kids, I probably wouldn't go wanted a parade. I'd more likely just head for the pub for some music and drink.
As a kid going to St. Patrick's Day, is it, you know, you get your best outfit on, you get to sing and whatever else, yeah?
Mostly, like me and my sister, for example, when we were kids, my mum would always dress us the same, even though we're not twins. But she would always put some sort of green outfit on. Mm-hmm. So even if we were wearing jeans and a top, she'd knit us sometimes like green cable knit cardigans and put shamrocks in our hair and all that kind of stuff.
Pretty.
So everyone kind of, the city is really green for St. Patrick's Day, and it's really nice because it's such an old tradition that still keeps bringing people together all the time, which is great. And then there's like things like the Galway races, for example, which is held every year. It's quite a big thing. And
when's
they have
that?
Like Ladies' Day. I think it's sometime in summertime, as far as I know. I've never actually been. I'd love to go. I'm always watching the feed and things like that because they have a Ladies' Day where they do like a best dress and they have to dress very like cocktail formal sort of. And
do they get to wear hats?
And hats, that's a big
I
thing.
Love
and then
hats.
They have all the local television stations and all there, so it's quite good. It's like Ireland's little, I don't know,
Ascot Festival.
Yeah,
sort of.
Exactly.
So it's horse racing. It's
Do
you get to, you know, gamble a bit sometimes?
Definitely. Yeah. And going to the races is a big thing, like in Ireland in general. So yeah, so they're kind of.
Is that something that you would normally, not necessarily with the hats, but you would normally dress up for to go to the races, or is it if it's not the Galway, you would just dress regularly?
I think so. Yeah, but the Galway is like the big one, and then they have like the dog races as well.
Okay.
You know, so that's more of a regular thing than. Mm-hmm. Than, you know, like the horse racing and things. But yeah, it's quite a big thing.
That's the sort of thing you'd go with a bunch of friends.
Yeah,
not a family
exactly.
Thing.
And exactly.
What's timekeeping like in Ireland? I'm just wondering because they are so chilled and so relaxed. Is it something, you know, if you say, yeah, we'll meet at 8, does somebody roll in at 10? Is it, or is it actually people are pretty on time because they're going to have fun somewhere?
I think it depends where you're going. I like to be early, but a lot of people would come a lot later, especially if it was a big event, for example. If you were going to a 24th birthday party or a 30th birthday party and it was a big thing where there was a lot of people going, it might say right from 8 o'clock, but most people won't come until like you say 10.
Yeah.
But if it was a dinner, for example, it would be rude obviously to show up more than 15-20 minutes late, you know. But in general, if it's like a big party or things that or something like that, it would just be people would just roll up whenever they were ready, you know.
Yeah, feed in. So.
Yeah.
So you can't blame the traffic in Ireland. We can blame it here, but we can't blame
exactly.
The so is there sort of dress codes? You were talking about the, you know, the green for St. Patrick's Day. Is there, you know, is there something you would wear specifically to an Irish wedding? They're day weddings, so you don't wear a formal dress for
It depends. Normally, a dress code wouldn't be specified, but you would know that it would be like a cocktail lounge.
Mm-hmm.
So, but not too formal. Like, I don't really recall ever seeing, unless you're a bridesmaid, someone that has like a full-on evening red carpet dress. It's more kind of cocktail wear, unless obviously it was specified that it was black tie or whatever. That's what I find here. Sometimes I've been to weddings here where there mightn't have been a dress code specified, but you would have someone in cocktail wear and then someone looking like they're gonna walk down the red carpet, like they're so overly dressed, you know. But generally it's not like that in Ireland. It's more just fun and a nice dress, and the guy will wear a nice suit, and that's more less it.
And the same going to someone's home for dinner, it's you're pretty relaxed, pretty casual, or would you
pretty
then
casual.
Pretty casual.
Yeah, yeah.
And what would you take as a present?
A bottle of wine would be a good one, or like the dessert, maybe.
Okay.
People would bring a dessert or
Guinness cake. So I've had Guinness cake recently, and it's just one of the best things I've ever
eaten.
I've
never actually had it. I've
so
had a lot
good.
Of Guinness before, but not Guinness cake. But yeah, or maybe if it was a barbecue or something like that, a lot of people would bring a side, like someone would bring a potato salad or whatever, but they would always come. There's a saying, I think it's never, I probably won't get it right, but never come with your hands hanging.
Okay.
Something like that. So it's like if you're going to someone's house, you have to bring something with you.
That's a good one. Jokes as well.
Yeah.
And what about things like gifts for weddings? Is that, like here, obviously, it's expected in general to give money. Is that the same sort of thing that happens in Ireland?
Nowadays, definitely. I think money is more of the expected gift.
Mm-hmm.
It would, obviously, years ago, there was the toasters and that, but that doesn't really happen anymore. However, they would never put it on a card.
Okay.
They would, you know, that would be, even though it's not Rude would be considered rude to specify the gift in Ireland. Yeah.
Okay. So you would and because your weddings are slightly smaller, you would hopefully know the couple that was getting married, and you would know something about them, know what they were saving for or whatever.
Exactly.
So you'd have something apt.
Yes.
To them. And is there anything else that's considered rude in Ireland that we, you know, because we all think we speak the same language? Is there something that we could do that is just like, no, 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 you don't say that, you don't do that, you don't.
There's quite a few actually. I mean, the Irish in general overly friendly, like they'll go out of their way to be friendly so they won't be considered rude, which a lot of other cultures, like people that I've spoken to from all different parts of Europe, and think that's kind of odd, you know. It's like you know, very in your face. But even little things like not thanking the bus driver, which nobody does here, is considered rude. Being generally unfriendly and reserved, even though that person might just be a bit of an introvert, they'd be like, oh, she's old, isn't she? She's a bit odd. No. And like at dinner parties and things like that, you would never criticize the food. You would maybe tell your partner later, be like, that was horrible, you know. But at the dinner table, you would be like, well done, Mary, or whoever it is, you know, that's gorgeous. So they're generally overly friendly and would go out of their way for people, which I think is, you know, I'd rather
cold and reserved.
Exactly. Even though you might not be, you might be the nicest person ever, but in Ireland, everyone is kind of nearly expected to be warm.
So you're saying everyone's really friendly. Is there any, you know, is it a racist? Is anyone, you know, is it homophobic? Is anything? Everyone's welcome. Everyone's happy to come and have a good time.
Definitely, it's a very, very welcoming place. There's something about, even when I get off the plane, for example, there's just an air of relaxation. For me, anyway, I don't feel as uptight when I'm at home. Maybe that's because I'm at home, but there, you know, you feel welcome everywhere you go. They were one of the first countries to legalise gay marriage by vote. So, I think we
were
actually the first country, I could be wrong, to legalize gay marriage by a vote by the people, which was great. So, there is obviously still, like everywhere, still certain parts of Ireland that are very, you know, devout Catholic, and, you know, even sex before marriage would be considered. You know, so of course there's going to be a little bit of homophobia or racism,
of course,
but I think that's everywhere.
People.
But
yeah,
in general, if you were, you know, if you were gay going over to Ireland, you would definitely be made feel
welcome.
Yes.
I'm just remembering something I did wrong in Ireland once. I actually asked for a Kahlua in my Guinness. So I think we could add that to the list of things not to do. The guy looked at me as if I was, you know,
really
eating his firstborn. Yes, yes.
But
for me, it makes it taste like chocolate milkshake. I love it.
It does, and I actually like it with a bit of cordial, with a bit of blackberry in it to sweeten it.
Yeah.
That's how I drink Guinness. It's lovely.
How would you order that? Would that be a Guinness and black?
Guinness and a dash of blackcurrant,
Okay, so there's no funny name for it that you're going to walk in and ask for something and get something.
It's a real, not to be sexist, but it is a real woman's way of drinking Guinness with a dash of blackcurrant just to take the edge off, you know, so, yeah.
No, Guinness is good for you.
Yeah.
I promise this isn't an advert. I'm guessing that, you know, the Guinness actually plays a big part as well at funerals.
Guinness and whiskey. Okay. Whiskey is quite traditional, especially at, you know, you're talking really traditional now. Funerals are a very big thing in Ireland. It's, you know, one of the occasions where you actually come away feeling really good and very connected with people. We would have, a lot of the time you would have a wake, maybe the night or a couple of nights before the burial.
So that's friends gathering, family gathering.
Yeah, and they would have like an open casket, and everyone would be drinking. Like someone might bring a bottle of Jemmy or just Jameson or whatever, and everyone would take a swig and toast the deceased person who would be just, you know, lying there with the open casket.
It
sounds very morbid, but it's actually very warming. And that's quite traditional. And then at the actual burial, you would have the obviously you would go to the graveyard or the crematorium, and normally after them there's a big naze up, you know, some pub, there's an area reserved and everyone is well fed, and everyone's drinking for the day, so, you know, everyone, someone gets a sing song going, or someone brings an instrument, and it's just, it's really a celebration of life, I suppose. And it's nice, whereas I've been to funerals, for example, in other places and here where it's very sad, and of course it's sad, and then we just go home, you know, whereas in Ireland it's like, no, you're not going, you're not getting out.
You're
going
to be on your own, and you have to, yeah.
Exactly,
yeah.
So there's a great connectivity with funerals as well. It's like, I think some people's aspirations might be to go and experience an Irish funeral, but yeah, they can be great.
Do they do like a horse and carriage or anything like that, or is it a normal hearse going to crematoriums and graveyards now? It's not something you would see going through the streets unless you're in the old villages, I'm guessing.
And it depends on how old the person. Like, I know my granny, for example, who died a few years ago, she always wanted to be carried over the Ringsend Bridge, which is just near the church. So so her sons carried her over the bridge, and we all walked behind the coffin. That can be quite common in Ireland as well, to walk behind the coffin to the church, depending on the area though, if it's too far or whatever. But yeah, and horse and carriages are not, I've never seen it done, probably a long time ago.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of the movies probably, actually. Yeah. So, you know, they have the black feathers coming out of their, the coming out of their headdresses.
Is there anything else we need to know about Ireland before we book our flights?
Just take it all in. It's a beautiful place. You will never, you'll go there and you'll make a lot of friends. You know, you'll enjoy it. You'll eat really good food. You have to experience it. You know, it's like what my Irish friends say about Malta. No matter what we say about traffic or this and that, there's something about Malta that people just can't, people can't put their finger on, and keeps bringing it back.
And
I would say the same about Ireland. So I'm very lucky to have a mixed heritage where I'm from both these places. So just go and enjoy.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much. I've been listening to Kim Faruja talking to me about Ireland here on The Good Manners Map.
Thank you for joining us on our journey around the world on The Good Manners Map here on Campus FM with myself, Monique Chambers, and the technicians Carmelo and Samuel. You can hear this programme on Mondays at 1:30 p.m, Thursdays at 9:30 a.m, and again on Fridays at 8 p.m. You can also download as a webcast from multiuniversitybroadcasting.com.